Hello, this is Zbigniew Misiak from BPM Tips, and today I have a great pleasure of speaking with Eric Drucker. Eric is a director for machine intelligence at Booz Allen Hamilton. He leads a team of strategists, technologists, and domain experts helping organizations pair thinking machines with engineering humans to solve some of the world's toughest challenges. First of all, thank you very much for joining me today. Eric, could you give a brief overview of your personality and how do you and your company help organizations?
Sure. So as director for machine intelligence, it's sort of a combination of two roles that I've had in the past as director for our data science solutions practice, as well as one of our leading strategy consultants. So really my job is to figure out not just how we build these complex and data-driven models to help us make better decisions, but to think beyond the building of the model and to figure out how do we operationalize it to actually let it have an impact in our day-to-day operations. And that's actually what led the firm to robotic process automation. And this question of how do you take these cognitive models and implement them on a wide scale? And to give you a little bit of background on Booz Allen Hamilton, we are one of the largest professional services companies supporting the federal government. We are primarily a strategy and technology consulting firm with about 23,000 employees, primarily based within the continental United States, but with a commercial and international presence in certain areas of the world as well.
Thank you very much. You mentioned automation. Now everybody's talking about process automation and RPA. If your best friend asks you for a step-by-step guide for implementing RPA, what would be your advice?
The first thing I would say is you've got to think broader than just these technology platforms. What's so incredible about the RPA technology platforms is that you can build a proof of concept or a partial solution incredibly fast, and it gives this impression that everything can be automated fairly easily. But at the end of the day, when you think about how do you move beyond those pilot implementations where you're just testing these bots and their ability to work through a piece of process, and you start to consider how they're going to be able to accomplish this work day in and day out for complex processes that are run thousands of times a day or a year, things really get complex and you have to think more broadly about the technology or than the technology. So some of the advice we give folks is from the upfront part to think about, number one, the scope of automation. Are you trying to automate just a specific step in a process and a process that's not very frequently run? Or are you trying to automate the entirety of a process that is run at scale thousands of times over the course of a day? Those lend themselves not just to different technologies, but also to different models for how they're implemented. The second piece is to consider the benefits that come from RPA. I think everybody, and I think this is driven partially by our news cycle, everybody's been so focused on the cost reductions and the impacts that automation could have on the reduction in our workforce. But what we're seeing as we implement RPA right now is not that. We're seeing that less than creating cost efficiencies, it is more about increasing the capacity of the organization writ large to enable them to take on more work without adding additional headcount. But even moving past that, there are other reasons for automation. It reduces the error. Humans make mistakes. Computers don't make mistakes except those programmed in by humans. So if you can train a bot really well to do a specific task and you can capture the accuracy in that, you can rest assured that the answer you're going to get is going to be correct out the backside. Additionally, because the process of building one of these bots brings a real structure to how the business process is executed, from an auditing and reliability and consistency standpoint, sometimes you may not be trying to find any efficiencies, but just having bots executing a process and creating that consistency can reduce the risk from an auditing perspective. So So those are really the two pieces of advice I give people up front is while the technology is exciting, it's really important to take a step back and to understand the context, not only the scope of the process that's being automated and how that lends itself to the technology and non-technology aspects, but what the real goal is from a return on that investment perspective, because both of those will contribute to how the technology is selected as well as how the broader implementation goes.
Thank you very much. You mentioned taking a broader view. I see very often that people are, like you mentioned, focused on, let's say, tangible things. So let's reduce FTEs. But I think that it may lead to several problems. Could you share what are the most common errors that you see in implementing RPA? And of course, how to avoid them?
Yeah, so one of the things we always talk about as a strategy consulting firm is culture can trump the best strategy executed in the best possible way. And what that speaks to with RPA is there's an educational component about it that is more critical than many of the other technologies we implement. And that is because people view these bots as a potential replacement for their job. And doing that educational work up front to help the staff who will be impacted by these automations understand that this isn't about replacing them. This is about taking away that toil work that constitutes so much of their job on a day-to-day basis to free them up to better accomplish the mission of the enterprise. They have to believe that, or the resistance that you can see both from a bottoms up and then once it reaches sort of the management level, you can start to see it coming from the top down, can be a very tough knot to cut. Additionally, and sort of continuing on this inclusion aspect, so often RPA implementations are piloted within a mission group, within some group within an organization that owns a specific set of processes. And what happens is after that pilot is successful by their definition, it's only then that IT is brought into the fold. And RPA is one of those technologies where because these bots are going to be deployed and they're going to touch operational systems, they have to adhere to all of the policies and the processes and the security aspects that the IT group manages on behalf of the enterprise. And being able to have conversations before the pilot starts to bring that group of constituent stakeholders into the conversation to hear their voice and to start discussing some of these challenges up front. Like for example, should these robotic bots be treated as employees with employee IDs because of the accesses they're going to need? Or should they be treated like software applications and managed out of IT? Because at the end of the day, they are code. Those are some big, hairy questions that if you bring IT in from the beginning, you can overcome a lot of those boundaries that can make shifting from a pilot to an implementation on an operational scale very difficult.
Thanks a lot. If I may ask additional follow-up question, if you could suggest the company that is wondering whether to start with RPA or not, what would be the best place to start with RPA? What are the best processes and what are the places which should be left for later phases when they are more mature, when they know more?
That is a great question. So much of the excitement about these RPA technologies is around the fact that they're going to give us the opportunity to implement these high-end machine learning cognitive models that are going to enable them to make very complex decisions. But at the end of the day, that is the end of a journey, not the beginning. My recommendation for organizations looking to take their first steps in RPA is to find those processes or those tasks within a process that represent high cost, low cognitive, low value work that staff just don't enjoy doing, but that has to get done. And some of the most common use cases for that are things like document transcription, mortgage companies, when you have to transcribe data that is taken within a mortgage document, a PDF file, and you have to move that to a database to package up those mortgages as security. I mean, that is people sitting there reading hundreds of pages of PDFs to identify the right information just to do basic data entry. Imagine the value that something like this can show if you can take those type of activities, you can move them from humans into software bots, and then free those people up to provide better customer service to clients, or to think about new securities that could be offered to helpfully transform operations of the firm. It's those lowest hanging fruits, the ones that have strictly defined processes that are true toil work, that does not require a lot of thought, but is very rote. Those are the low hanging fruit that organizations looking to start with RPA should begin with.
Thank you very much. Since we were talking about the various levels of maturity, could you share the useful resources that you had to recommend to people interested in RPA? So maybe books, some sites?
Yeah, so if you go to boozallen.com/RPA, you'll be able to see some of the documents and intellectual capital that we've put out around robotic process automation. And as our business and our implementations continue to grow and scale, we are constantly updating that. So I would certainly suggest starting there if you're looking to get some more information about this exciting technology.
Thank you so much for your time and sharing your knowledge with BPM practitioners all around the world.